Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So there I was, driving a car in the dead of night on a road littered with potholes. A headless corpse behind me, gaining on me. Behind it, a guy on a motorcycle screaming like it was going out of style. My best friend, Johnny, next to me, trying to keep the teeth of a bodiless head away from his manhood. The rider's head, and the constant bumps did neither of them any favors. And on top of all that, another corpse in the back seat, hands on my shoulder, whispering,
"Faster,"
in my ear. The rider swung the spine. I pulled the steering wheel. The car hit another pothole, and we fishtailed. A loud smack rained bits of glass on the corpse, and it screeched,
"Faster, fuck."
Insert a record scratch, a freeze frame, and a, "Yup, that's me." You might be wondering how I got here. Well, I'll tell you. It all started a long, long time ago, back in kindergarten. Johnny got this funny idea that he wanted to bully someone, and I got the even funnier idea that I'd fight back. In our retelling of the events, you'll hear tall tales of karate and kung fu, jumps across the monkey bars, and an epic struggle down the slip and slide. In reality, we slapped each other wildly until we both started crying. Our fight ended in a draw, and Johnny decided that bullying wasn't for him after all. Our teacher made us both apologize, which I distinctly remember pissing me off. I'd done nothing wrong, I merely defended myself, but apologize I did. And so did Johnny. That's how our friendship started. Skip ahead a couple of decades to us as adults. Our lives had their ups and downs, we drifted apart, then back together. We made some good decisions and some bad ones, mostly bad ones. Johnny, admittedly, a few more bad ones than me. I ended up working as an accountant for some large firm, and after the COVID fiasco, they discovered that, hey, this dope can work just as well from home. No reason to rent an office for him. So I was working from home with zero supervision, basically on my own schedule. Pay attention, dear listener. This bit will be important in a few paragraphs. While I changed only four jobs, Johnny bounced from one to the next like his life depended on it. He did a bit of everything, but he was never satisfied. I hate working with customers. The work environment is toxic, the pay is too little. On and on, he kept finding reasons to quit. I helped him the best I could, but I honestly thought he was a lost cause after a while. Until he landed this gig at a car salesman, and every messy piece of his life just clicked into place. The schedule was good. Interaction with people was minimal. The pay was decent. This one was it, and he was in it for the long haul. Both figuratively and literally, since his job mainly consisted of him driving around the country. He'd pick up cars from wherever and drop them off wherever else, either for his employer or for the customers. That meant he was mostly away from home, and we spent less time shooting the shit together. And on the rare occasions when he was in town, he had to divide his limited free time between everyone. That's why, when he proposed that I join him for this drive, I accepted. As per the point I asked you to remember roughly 7 paragraphs ago, I counted. I make my own schedule, so I had the time.
"It's a pretty long drive, very important," Johnny told me. "Can't be postponed. The client will be pissed. My usual partner called in sick, and the employer can't find anyone else in time, so you do me a huge solid."
"Yeah, sure. I'm in," I answered.
"Thanks a bunch," he said, with an almost radioactive glow to him. "It'll be like a road trip. We'll have fun."
"Just the two of us, like the good old times."
"But I'll make it worth your while, I promise."
Johnny, well, promised.
"I'll split the commission with you."
"No, man, you don't need to," I reassured him. "I just want to spend some time with an old pal."
"No, I insist."
We argued about it all the way to the dealership. Then we argued as we left Johnny's car there. and we kept arguing even as we entered the building.
No, we're splitting it, and that's the end of it,
Johnny said, and punched my shoulder.
I said I will, so I goddamn will. I'm a man of my word.
Fine, fine, I gave in. We laughed about it until a man behind a nearby counter coughed to clear his throat. Our focus shifted to him and to the set of keys he spun on his huge finger. Huge like the rest of him, he was a beast.
Found someone?
He asked, in a voice so deep it rattled my bones. I couldn't exactly place his accent, but it sounded kind of Russian.
Yeah, Johnny answered.
The man nodded his head and tossed the keys to Johnny. Well, tossed, not really. I mean, it might have been a toss for him, but he might as well have fired the damn thing out of a cannon. Johnny dodged the keys, turned the projectile, and they flew out the door into the yard. The man gave him a chilling death stare.
I'll go get those.
Johnny fumbled for words. He scurried away, with the man boring a new hole into his ass with his gaze. As soon as Johnny was gone, his attention shifted to me. His sheer intensity mellowed out somewhat, but not by much. Like refusing a Carolina Reaper, but still taking your chances with a ghost pepper. Not sure why the hell I made that analogy. Store-brand ketchup is too spicy for me in a regular day. Anyway, death stare. I cowered in place for a moment that lasted altogether too long, listening to Johnny searching for the keys outside.
I found them,
he yelled.
Come on, let's go.
The man nodded his head towards the door, giving me permission to move. I backed away a few steps, my eyes still on him.
Take care of Carl,
he gave a final order. It took all I had in me to not answer with a sir, yes sir. I got out of the building and closed the door behind me, careful as if I was caging a monster. Johnny was already by the car, looking a bit shaken. I'll admit, it wasn't a great start. If only I'd have recognized it for the bad omen it was. We had a 30-something hour drive ahead of us. Then we had to find the client. After that, we had to buy a cheap car to drive back, one that the dealership could flip here, then a 30-something hour drive back. With no time to lose, we hit the road. Johnny took the wheel for the first half of the drive, from early Saturday morning and into the first night. Not much happened. We mostly chatted and caught up, but it was fun. By nightfall, we needed to pull into a gas station to top up, so I suggested we trade places.
Nah, I can still go for a bit,
Johnny said. He was in the process of pulling off the interstate. We planned to go get gas from a nearby town since it was cheaper. I could tell he was tired. His head drooped and his shoulders slouched. I insist. You need to catch some shut-eye, I said. You can take over for the final stretch, but I really don't think it's a good idea for you to keep driving. He wanted to protest again, but he yawned instead.
Okay, fine, he gave in.
We pulled into the town a few minutes later, and we found the gas station quickly. It was pretty packed. Others had the same idea we did. Johnny pulled up next to one of the gas pumps and got out, so I did as well. I gotta hit the restroom over here, I said, and started walking away.
Get some snacks, too.
I gave him a thumbs up and went to do my business. When I came back out, I found him waiting in line at the till, so I joined him. A few people complained about me cutting the line, but bite me. We were together. I wasn't cutting shit. The cashier, a local teen, bored out of his mind, brought up our total.
Will that be all?
Hey, get us a pack of Red Bulls, some chocolate bars, some...
Johnny went off, asking for half the damn store. I looked away from him for a moment and noticed someone near the car. For a moment, I feared he might be a thief.
You purr at me, and I feel complete. Then you come at me like the Wolverine. And even though you often turn your back on me, our love goes deeper than a submarine. No, I don't want clay dust inside of you, or chemicals in the place you poo. In my arms or in your box, our love will be pure.
World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.
Until a couple of pals joined him with their phones pulled out. One of them noticed me staring. He pointed a finger at the car, then at me. I nodded my head. He waved his phone around and made a pleading gesture, so I rolled my eyes and nodded my head again. They were just local teens looking to take a pic with a nice car. I couldn't see the harm in that. A bit cringy, maybe, but they weren't hurting anyone. The guy clapped his phone between his hands and made a thank you gesture. Then they took a few pics. I shook my head as I turned away from them, but I couldn't help but smile.
"Will that be all, sir?"
the cashier asked in an exacerbated tone. My attention refocused on the task at hand. Johnny had a bag full of junk food on the counter, which nearly doubled his expense. Gas stations are rip-offs.
"Dunno,"
he said, and elbowed me.
"You want anything?"
"No, that looks like enough. I don't want to gain 20 pounds by the time I get back home."
"Then, that's all."
He paid, and we returned to the car. The teens were gone by then, so I stopped thinking about them. Johnny tossed me the keys and got in the passenger seat, and I got behind the wheel.
"Want a Red Bull?"
Johnny asked as I pulled back onto the road. He had the bag in his lap, rummaging through it. I was busy turning the GPS back on and giving it the destination. "Yeah, sure." He cracked one open and left the can for me in the cup holder.
"Snickers?"
I didn't pay attention to him. The GPS gave some warning about heavy traffic on the interstate, but it offered an alternative route on some back roads. "What?" I selected that one, and the gadget calculated whatever it needed to calculate.
"You want a Snickers?"
Johnny repeated.
Yeah.
He ripped open the wrapper and passed me the chocolate bar. Fucking great. My bare fingers would melt it, and I get chocolate all over the steering wheel. I divided my attention between driving and wolfing down the Snickers as fast as possible. A few streets away, I noticed a car on our tail. My alarm bells went off when I saw the teens from earlier in it. Did they take an unhealthy liking to the car, bordering on the criminal, perhaps? Would they try some Grand Theft Auto shit out in the boonies? I was getting ready to tell Johnny about it as we reached the town's outskirts, but the teens signaled and turned down another street. I breathed a sigh of relief. They were just curious, after all. Johnny finished a bag of chips, and he finally noticed we weren't heading back the way we came.
"Where are we?"
he asked, throwing the empty bag in the back seat. I pointed to the GPS. "Your lovely assistant let me know the interstate's busy, but she suggested a detour."
"Oh, yeah, she does that from time to time. Well, I'll leave you two to it, and sleep a little. Just don't steal her heart."
He winked at me, and I chuckled. My nerves from earlier unwinding. Johnny put in a pair of headphones and turned, and he snored away before the town's lights were even gone on the horizon. Driving through the middle of nowhere was weird, but also oddly pleasant. The road wasn't the best, a patchwork of asphalt that constantly broke down and needed repairs. I was all alone, no other cars or lights in sight. Desolate. Yeah, that's the right word. I felt like I left the entire world behind, and...
"In 5 minutes, take the left turn."
The robotic, feminine voice of the GPS whispered, its volume set as low as it would go without turning it off outright. I chuckled again. It sounded kind of sensual. Eyes still on the road, I tapped the unit and whispered, "Hey babe, I might steal you from Johnny after all." Cringy in retrospect, but oh well. Being tired out of your mind will do that to you. Back to what I was talking about. It was dark like a troll's scrotum out there. I could have seen anyone coming from a mile away, and, as if to prove my point, a light appeared behind me. Far away, still, lazily cresting the horizon. Probably a local with a farm out there, and a late-night craving for a beer. Been there, done that, except for the farm part. I ignored it. I cracked the driver's side window open just a tad, pulled out a pack of cigs, and lit one up. Not like I was a regular smoker or anything, but I'd get the craving once in a while, so I carried. What I assumed was a car, or more likely a rundown truck, approached fast. I glanced at the rearview mirror every so often, and each time it got closer. Much more so than I expected given the road's condition and the speed limit. Two thoughts crossed my mind. One, the guy or gal driving that thing didn't give a flying fuck about either the shock absorbers or their own comfort. And two, that they must have been in one hell of a hurry. I wasn't standing still myself. I was going 5 over the limit, but even so, it was catching up to me fast. They'd passed me by the time I was halfway through the cigarette, and I was one curious cat. I slowed down somewhat and pulled as close to the side of the road as possible to give the madman enough room to pass me safely. The lights got closer and closer and closer, and something was wrong about them. They were too dim for a pair of headlights, and too yellow. Too warm. They flickered and waned and picked back up, their luminosity unsteady. I slowed down. They sped up. The gap between us was about a mile, and a mile later, it was half that. Whoever they were really booking it. I was honestly starting to fear for our safety. It got closer, still, and I took another drag from the cigarettes before I looked in the mirror. Now, let's play a little game. I'll give you 3 options, and you have to scroll down and comment which one you think it was. No, for real. Do it. Option 1. It was a redneck rendition of Mad Max. Option 2. The guy from the motorcycle I mentioned earlier. Option 3. A UFO. Go. Well, whatever you said, it was wrong. Probably. The correct answer is none of the above, because it was a carriage. I damn near took my hands off the steering wheel to rub my eyes in disbelief, but I burned my cheek with the cigarette.
Johnny, man, are you seeing this shit?
I yelled. No response. Oh yeah, Johnny had his headphones on, and he was fast asleep. The carriage got even closer, enough for me to make out some of the details. Insert cliche of, but to this day I wish I hadn't. A black horse pulled the thing, its legs a blur as it ran, and it was perhaps the most beautiful equine specimen I ever laid eyes on. The carriage attached to it, though, and the driver, pure nightmare fuel. The carriage was in tatters, barely holding itself together, decorated with funeral objects that rattled wildly, and 2 skulls up top with candles jabbed into them. Those were the lights I mistook for headlights. And the rider, a gaunt and tall figure without a head, at least not one connected to its neck. It had a head, but it held said head up high in its hand. Imagine a basketball player going for a slam dunk, except with a rotten, grinning head instead of a ball. My first thought was, damn, that horse packs more horsepower than your average stallion. My second thought was that I should lay low on the Red Bull, because someone has had to have spiked it with drugs. Then I realized that can't be the case, since free drugs aren't a thing.
Johnny, wake the fuck up, man!
Nope, he couldn't hear me. I reached over to pull out his headphones, but the rider screamed at us, and I froze.
Johnny!
I hit the gas, more of a fear response than anything. The car lurched and took off. I hit a pothole, and I swear we got a brief moment of airtime before we came crashing back down. Johnny slept through it all. I took a quick glance at the GPS, seeing that much-coveted left about a mile down the road. We had to make it to the highway. Whatever the hell that...
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like... Wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call... Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
It was, I didn't stand a chance of losing it here on this crappy road. We picked up speed. 60, 70, 80 miles per hour. Every bump became a ramp, every pothole a crater. The rider whipped the horse, and it went faster, too. Its black legs turning into blurs. And Johnny still slept. The carriage caught up and got next to us. I missed the exit. Couldn't have taken it anyway, not at the speed we were going. The rider pointed a slender, rotten finger at me, and I pissed myself. And no, not in a figurative sense. Oh boy, I'm so scared. No, I actually pissed myself. I soaked my pants and the seat. Some even trickled down my leg and into my shoes. The rider screamed Johnny's name again. I put the pedal to the metal, but we weren't picking up speed fast enough. It pulled back the head, ready to throw it, and I tried to put the window back up. With my hands shaking out of control, I pressed on down and the window lowered. The head was thrown. I leaned back into the seat and it narrowly missed me. Took the cigarette from my lips, though. Then it hit Johnny, biting into his shoulder, and he finally woke up.
What the fuck? What the shit?
He panicked hard, flailing his arms. One of his hands snagged the steering wheel, and he sensed the car careening to the left. The head's eyes went wide, and the body tried to stop the carriage, but he hit it anyway. Ended up spooking the horse and losing the side mirror, but oh well.
Johnny. What the hell? What the hell?
I slapped his hand away and got control on the car. The head bit down harder into his shoulder, jagged teeth passing through his shirt and drawing blood.
Help! Get it off!
Johnny screamed, grabbing a handful of wispy hair. The carnage slowed down a bit, and the head growled, but it wouldn't let go. I took a hand off the wheel, made a peace sign, and poked the fingers into its beady eyes. That got it to open its mouth and scream, and it was enough for Johnny to pry it off.
What's going on?
He asked.
Don't know.
The head jerked in his hands. Johnny clasped his palms around its ears, holding down tighter.
What is this?
He asked, pointing the head at me. It snapped its teeth in my direction, but I pulled away, shrinking into the door. The cigarette burned in the back of its throat, letting out wisps of smoke that drifted out of its mouth and nostrils.
I don't know. What's that?
He asked, pointing at the carriage mere feet behind us.
I don't know, man. Go faster.
I'm trying. Throw that damn thing out. Johnny looked at the head. The head looked at him. I looked at both of them, and they looked away from each other at me.
Let the window down.
The head growled. I complied, using the controls on my side to let Johnny's window down the whole way. The head looked absolutely indignant. Johnny threw it out. The head vanished from sight for a moment, but then it appeared next to his window again. Of course it could fly. Why not? But it struggled to keep up with the speed of the car, so I closed the window. Not a moment too soon, the head butted its forehead into the glass.
Get fucked,
Johnny yelled and stuck out his tongue at it. The head frowned. It launched itself forward, mouth open wide, and bit down on the side mirror.
Faster, damn it, faster,
Johnny screamed at me.
I'm fucking trying.
The acceleration was all the way down already, so I couldn't do much more. Behind us, the driver of the carriage mercilessly whipped the horse's back. I felt sorry for the animal, but I had to give it to him. It was effective. He was closing the gap between us. When it got close enough, it lifted the whip in the air and spun it around. Still clamped on the side mirror, the head gulped. The still-burning butts of the cigarette slipped out of its severed throat.
Do something,
Johnny demanded. I did. The rider launched the tip of the whip at the car, and I slammed the brakes. The car protested, nearly folding into itself, and the carriage shot past. The whip hit the ground up ahead, heaving a large piece of asphalt into the air.
Turn around! Turn around, damn it!
Johnny screamed. The car came to a full stop, a feat the carriage struggled to match. Modern brakes, am I right? I pulled on the steering wheel hard, throttling the engine at the same time. The head let go of the side mirror and flew across the hood. We swerved and took off the way we came, but it wasn't fast enough. The head had enough time to fly into the car with us again. It went for a bite. I rocked the steering wheel, jolting the entire car, but it worked. The teeth missed me and found Johnny again.
Fucking
throw it out again. We sped off as I let Johnny's window down a second time. I spared a look into the rearview mirror, finding the carriage off in the fields. The turn radius on that thing sucked.
In 3 miles, take a right turn.
The GPS chirped. The carriage got back on the road, but we found some good distance between us. By my side, Johnny still struggled with the head, now mere inches away from biting his nose off. "Hey!" I let out and raised 2 fingers again. The head stuck out its black tongue at me. I couldn't fucking believe it. It jiggled out of Johnny's grip and flew to the back of the car.
"Oh no, you don't,"
Johnny said, and unbuckled his seatbelt.
"Ass in the seat, don't you—"
I started, but it was too late. Johnny fucked off over the backrest. How in the hell did things get so out of control so fast? They started fighting back there, but I couldn't do much of anything. Had to keep my eyes and attention on the road to avoid crashing. The carriage was nearing us again, and I couldn't afford to miss the turn a second time. Another light appeared on the horizon in front of us. "God, fucking—" I flashed the high beams at them. They flashed theirs back. How was I supposed to tell them to stay the fuck away? We have a headless corpse riding a carriage on our tail. I couldn't. All I could do was pray they'd get away unscathed. We neared the intersection. Johnny and the head were still going at it, and I only caught glimpses of their fight in the rearview mirror. It looked like the head was winning. The carriage was some 200 yards behind us, gaining, and the light up front wasn't showing any signs of slowing down. I let up on the accelerator. "Hold on to something, Johnny. We're going in hot."
My leg. It bit my fucking leg.
Close to the turn, I finally saw what the light coming our way was. A man on a motorcycle. He flashed his high beams as I slammed the brakes, and he slowed down as well. He did a wide turn, ending in a slide, his back wheels spinning uselessly on the asphalt as he burned rubber. The maneuver stopped him right in the intersection, blocking my turn once more. I swore between gritted teeth and honked at him as I passed him, pulling madly on the steering wheel.
"Out of the way, jackass!"
I yelled as I turned the car around and came in for a third attempt. To his credit, he did get out of the way, barely enough to let me pass, but he stopped again. Whatever, it's his death wish. Then, he pulled out a big shotgun. My heart jumped into my throat as the barrel flashed before my eyes.
"Go,"
he screamed, and thankfully pointed the shotgun away. He trained his aim on the carriage and waited. I floored the acceleration as he let the first shot fly. Not sure if it hit, but it spooked the horse, and the carriage lost control. The rider let go of the reins, kicked the rudder hard enough to break it, and jumped onto the horse's back. He passed me in all his headless glory, booking it down the road. Motorcycle guy revved his engine and bolted in the nick of time, dodging the carriage coming his way. I turned the steering wheel to take the goddamn turn, but I had to pull it back at the last moment as the carriage cut me off again. It flew off the road, toppling and rolling through the grassy field. Parts of it flew everywhere, the thing more or less
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Disintegrated.
"Down the road, go,"
motorcycle guy yelled and pointed ahead.
"But go."
He unclipped something from his side and tossed it at me. Whatever it was flew into the car through the window, landing in my lap and rolling away. Then he raised his shotgun again and let the second shot fly at the rider.
"Fucking go,"
he yelled, breaking the shotgun to reload it. Despite my better judgment, I did. I floored it again and sped off.
"What the hell is going on?"
Johnny asked. He came up behind me, holding up a walkie-talkie.
"What's this?"
"Give it here," I demanded, and reached out. Johnny slapped it down into my open palm. "Where's the head?" He lifted his other hand, revealing the head biting on his forearm.
I think it's getting tired. It doesn't really hurt.
The head grinned and bit down harder.
You little shit.
Johnny fell into the back seat, out of sight again, as he resumed his fight. I returned my eyes to the road. The motorcycle got on the move and was right behind us, and the rider was calling him.
Come in.
A call came from the radio. I fumbled with it, but couldn't figure out how it worked.
Button on the side. Keep it pressed to talk.
I pressed the button. What the fuck?
Good question.
Johnny slammed his legs into my seat, and I lost control for a moment. The car swerved, so I dove on the steering wheel to regain control.
Let go already. Come on.
He pleaded. I heard the sound of something rip.
The boss will fucking kill me.
Get back here, I demanded. Johnny clambered between the front seats, getting back into his place. He held the head tight with both hands, and it had a long strip of leather in its mouth. I looked over my shoulder for a split second, finding the cover of the back seats torn to shreds. In their confrontation, they somehow managed to push the button to let one of the seats down, revealing a patch of pure darkness in the trunk.
Okay,
Johnny said.
Here, hold on to this for a moment.
He chucked the head at me. I let go of the steering wheel and caught it, realizing all too late what the hell I'd just done. I shot my legs up, holding the wheel steady with my knees.
Johnny!
He casually put on his seatbelt.
Okay, done. Give it back.
He reached over, poked the head in the eyes, and took it off my hands.
Find the radio. Bad moment for music, don't you think?
The goddamn walkie-talkie. I blew up on him. I dropped it somewhere.
Right.
You guys still there?
Found it,
Johnny said, retrieving it from under his ass. He let go of the head for a moment, and it took advantage, squirming out of his grasp and going straight for his groin. Johnny tossed the radio at me like a lump of burning coal and stopped the assault mere inches away from his manberries.
Still here,
I said in the radio. What do we do?
Keep driving for one,
the man answered.
Name's Miles, by the way. And that thing is a Doulahan.
Mike, I provided my own name. And this is Johnny.
Okay, Mike, Johnny. Did either of you guys hear the Doulahan scream your names?
It screamed Johnny's, I said.
When?
Johnny asked. Right before it threw the head in the car.
You guys have its head?
Yeah.
Toss it the fuck out.
Trying,
Johnny said.
Try harder.
What do we do? I asked, exasperated by that point.
Well, sorry to say this, but your friend's ass is toast. Once a Doulahan screams your name, you can't get away.
Johnny looked at me expectantly, with a dash of terror behind his eyes. Don't worry, man. I won't let it take you, I assured him. He let out a sigh of relief, followed by a sharp yelp as the head bit the inside of his thigh.
Solutions, Miles. Solutions, I demanded.
I really don't know. Never hunted a Doulahan before. How much gas do you have? Can you keep going for a bit until I make a call?
Tank's about full. We can go for a few hours.
Okay. Keep ahead of it. I'll be right back.
Miles pulled to the side and slowed down. The rider whizzed past him, and he let loose on the shotgun again. It scared the horse and bought me enough time to get a bit of headway. Johnny pried the head off, got a good grip on it, and gave me a strained smile.
You're really good at this. You ever consider a career in racing?
He asked. I chuckled. My heart did laps in my chest, and my knuckles turned white on the steering wheel from gripping it so tight.
No way in hell. Maybe you should,
he continued. If we get out of this alive, I think I'll walk from now on. He got ready to say something else, but a sound from behind us stopped him. The squeaking of leather, the rustling of a plastic wrapper, and a grunt. Johnny turned around slowly while I looked into the rearview mirror.
What the hell? Brains,
came in a throaty whisper. It was another corpse, this one with its head on its shoulder. Man, maybe early 30s and pale white. His eyes glazed over, pupils murky, and a huge gash in his chest draining his shirt in red.
Fuck!
Raise,
it whispered again.
Give him the head,
I yelled. The head's eyes moved to me, and I could all but hear it say, "Bitch, are you for real right now?" But Johnny didn't hesitate. He swung the head around and pointed it at the surprised zombie. The head growled. The zombie screamed.
"We're just messing around,"
the zombie said.
"Why the fuck do you guys have a head? How is it still alive?"
"How are you?"
Johnny retorted. I sighed.
"Where the hell did you come from?"
The zombie pulled away from the head as it clacked its teeth.
"The trunk,"
it answered, matter-of-factly. "Yeah, of course. Why not?" I said.
"Get that creepy thing away from me,"
the zombie said. Something exploded by our side. With my attention drawn away from the road, I missed the Doulahan getting close enough to take a shot at the car with the whip. It missed by a hair, leaving behind another pothole in the asphalt. The zombie lurched forward, putting its arms on my shoulders as it wept.
"It's here for me. Oh, God. Oh, fuck."
Miles reappeared behind the Doulahan, struggling to catch up.
"Faster,"
the zombie groaned in my ear. The Doulahan raised the whip again, spinning it over its headless neck. I pulled the steering wheel, and the tip of the whip shattered the back window into a million pieces that rained down on us.
"Faster. Fuck. Go faster."
And that's how I got here. The car skidded around, but I regained control. The zombie started weeping. The Doulahan spun up the whip for another shot. Miles cursed up a storm in the radio. Johnny finally chucked the head out the window. It scraped against the side of the car and peeled off more paint.
"The boss is gonna kill me,"
Johnny said, his face as white as the zombie's. Either he was that scared of his higher-ups, or the blood loss was finally catching up to him. I couldn't tell.
"Miles, answer me. Miles,"
I demanded in the radio.
"Still here,"
Miles assured me.
"But I have bad news. I can't do anything about the Doulahan. You'll have to hand your friend over."
"There's been a new development," I said, eyeing the zombie in the rearview mirror. "Turns out there's been a corpse in the trunk for God knows how long. I think the Doulahan is after that." Another crack of the whip, this one aimed at the back tire. I moved the car out of the way, but it clicked.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
To the back door, bending the metal and sending vibrations through the whole car.
"What? How?"
Miles asked. "I don't know."
"Didn't you say it called your friend's name?"
he continued.
"What's your name?"
I asked the zombie. It looked away for a moment, clearly scared.
"Johnny,"
it answered, eventually.
"There you go,"
I told Miles. "The two share a name. The Doulahan wasn't after my friend."
"Great,"
Miles said.
"Fan-fucking-tastic. Problem solved. Pull over and let it take the zombie."
Zombie Johnny's eyes snapped back up front, meeting mine in the rear view. They were pleading, filled with pure terror. I didn't know the guy in life. He could have been the brightest saint or the biggest asshole, but I couldn't just hand him over to a monster.
"Please,"
he pleaded in a low whisper.
"I'm scared."
I sighed. "What's going to happen to him, Miles? What will the Doulahan do with him?"
"Fuck if I know,"
Miles answered.
"Doulahans aren't native here. Haven't met one before. but you don't have much of a choice.
The zombie lurched forward, desperation thick on its cold, pale face. It put its hands on my shoulders again, mumbling pleas over and over again between sobs. "We'll find out," I answered. "I can keep ahead of it for a little longer." Miles let out some more curses.
"We didn't have time for this. It'll catch you sooner or later. So make it sooner and get it over with."
Zombie Johnny cried, honest to God tears flowing out of its eyes and into my shirt. Human Johnny looked at me, but I could tell he was just as conflicted about what we should do. "Find out," I stressed again.
"God, fucking..."
Miles throttled the engine of the bike, shooting past the Dullahan with his shotgun raised. He fired it with one hand, right into the horse's legs, but the pellets bounced right off. It scared the animal, though, and the Dullahan fell back. Miles nearly lost control of the bike, too, but he dropped the shotgun and jumped on the handles. He got next to us and pulled something out. A round object, metallic and shiny, fitting in the palm of his hand. A grenade.
"He'll blow us up,"
Human Johnny screamed. I went to brake, but it was too late. Miles pulled the pin on the thing, and no bang. Didn't even throw it. He held on to it. The lights in the car died, though, and so did his motorcycle. We sailed to a stop, as both Johnnies cried incoherently. Miles stopped a little ways behind, kicking the stand and jumping off the motorcycle.
"Get it started again,"
Human Johnny pleaded. "Trying," I said, turning the keys in the ignition in vain.
"He fried everything."
Miles pulled out a pistol, a big and clunky revolver. Looked like it had quite the stopping power, though.
"Out of the car,"
he barked an order. We looked at each other, at a loss for words. Miles let a shot fly into the air.
"I'm not messing around."
"I'm sorry," I said, as I opened the door. "I did my best." I stepped out, hands up over my head and palms open. "Don't shoot."
"Your friends, too,"
Miles said. Human Johnny did. He got out of the car and walked around it, stopping next to me.
"What now?"
he asked in a whisper.
"Should we..."
The Dullahan reached us, holding the horse's mane with one hand. It pulled, and the horse locked up its legs, coming to a full stop.
"Johnny,"
the head called out, back in its hand. Zombie Johnny whimpered. Miles walked up to the door and pulled it open.
"Out."
"What?"
"Out."
I felt bad, downright heartbroken, but I couldn't risk anything. Not with this madman and the Dullahan there. Zombie Johnny got out of the car, slow and sluggish, shooting us a desperate look. Human Johnny averted his eyes. Mine were drenched in tears.
I'm sorry,"
Zombie Johnny said. The Dullahan reached out a hand. Zombie Johnny shuffled over to it and took it hesitantly. He was whisked off his feet, up onto the horse, and the Dullahan took off, back down the road.
"You fucking asshole,"
I yelled at Miles as soon as the Dullahan was far enough away. He didn't really react, just put his gun away, walked over to his bike, and tried to get it started. The engine rumbled to life, and he hopped on.
"Word of advice, you saw nothing."
He shot a few rounds into the car, breaking the windows and leaving finger-sized holes in the doors.
"You were attacked out of the blue. You don't know who and why. They just left. The authorities will be here in a few minutes. Throw together a story between yourselves so you can keep it straight. You'll probably be interrogated separately. We won't see each other again, but you'll thank me later."
With that, he was off, leaving Johnny and I scratching our heads. We popped the trunk open, and to our surprise, Zombie Johnny's body was still there. Now, I don't have many answers, just a myriad of questions. The police did arrive a little while later, But thankfully, we did make up a story and agreed on the details. We were interrogated all night long, and we were released this morning. We have no idea where the body came from. Johnny thinks it might be his employers, that they have some ties with the mafia or something. It's possible, but I personally think it was those teens back at the gas station. That zombie Johnny was either a friend of theirs they killed by accident, or someone they wanted to get rid of. We'll have to wait for the results of the investigation on that one. Another thing is that we don't know much about Doulahan's. We have no idea what it did with Zombie Johnny. All we can do is hope it's not something horrible. If any of you know, we'd really appreciate any answers. And lastly, Miles. Fuck you, man. I have no idea if you'll hear this, or even if that's your real name. But if you do, fuck you, from the bottom of my heart.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3. This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.